Hello and welcome to another teaching from 119 Ministries. Our ministry believes that the whole Bible is true and directly applicable to our lives today. If you would like to know more about what we believe and teach, please visit us at testeverything.net. If you enjoy this video, don't forget to hit the like button and subscribe to our channel by hitting the button down below. We hope you enjoy studying and testing the following teaching. Imagine a giant lottery machine filled with billions and billions of white ping pong balls. Mixed among all the white balls is a single yellow ping pong ball. Now, imagine being told that one ball will be randomly selected out of the batch. Also, the stakes are high. If the one yellow ball rolls down the chute, you'll be allowed to live. However, if one of the billions and billions of white ping pong balls is selected, you'll be executed. The odds of you surviving this game are incomprehensibly improbable. In fact, if the yellow ping pong ball happened to slide down the chute instead of a white one, you'd assume that the game had been rigged in order that you would live. This is perhaps a good comparison to the odds against life existing on Earth. For instance, scientists say that there are more than 200 known parameters required for a life-permitting planet. All of the conditions must be perfectly met, or else our planet would be life-prohibiting rather than life-permitting. Astrophysicist Dr. Hugh Ross has compiled a list of 154 of these necessary parameters and has explained why each of them must be met in order for a planet to support life. For example, Dr. Ross explains that only a certain kind of galaxy, in particular a spiral galaxy like ours, could permit life. Not only that, but the galaxy needs to be the right size, have the right mass distribution, be the right age, and be in the right location. If the galaxy's mass were distributed too much in the central bulge, for instance, a life-supportable planet would be exposed to too much radiation. If the mass were distributed too much in the spiral arms, then a life-supportable planet would be destabilized by the gravity and radiation from adjacent spiral arms. There are other parameters relating to everything from having the right amount of stars in the planetary system to the thickness of the planet's crust to iron quantity in the planet's oceans and soils. Another important parameter is that a planet must have the right star in order to support life. The star must be the right size and mass, not too hot and not too cold. The planet must be the right distance from the star. For instance, if Earth moved just 2% closer or farther from the Sun, no water would exist. Related to this, the Earth's rotation cycle is exactly perfect. If it were any slower or faster, life could not be sustained due to temperature differences or wind velocities being too extreme. Earth's moon is also utterly unique in the universe, and everything about it is just perfect for life to be able to exist. If anything were different, the Earth would be life-prohibiting, not life-permitting. For instance, if Earth's gravitational interaction with the moon were any greater, tidal effects on the oceans, atmosphere, and rotational period would be too severe for life to exist. If any less, the magnetic field would be too weak, causing Earth's ozone shield to be inadequately protected from hard stellar and solar radiation. To give one more specific example, the planet Jupiter actually plays a big role in life surviving on Earth. Jupiter's gravity helps to draw away asteroids and comets from Earth. If Jupiter was just a little further away from Earth, or a little smaller, there would be too many asteroid and comet collisions for life to exist. However, if Jupiter were just a little closer, or a little bigger, Earth's orbit would become unstable and life couldn't exist. These are just a few of the conditions and ingredients that must be perfect in order for Earth to support life. There are many, many more. Every aspect of the universe is perfectly ordered, interconnected, and interdependent. And if there were even the slightest variation in any of these parameters, we wouldn't be here. The tiniest alteration to one thing would affect everything else. By the way, all of this is just for life to exist on Earth. What's required for the universe to exist at all is even more shocking. Here's what Eric Metaxas had to say in a recent op-ed for the Wall Street Journal. "The fine-tuning necessary for life to exist on a planet is nothing compared with the fine-tuning required for the universe to exist at all. For example, astrophysicists now know that the values of the four fundamental forces, gravity, the electromagnetic force, and the strong and weak nuclear forces, were determined less than 1/1,000,000th of a second after the Big Bang. Alter any one value and the universe could not exist. For instance, if the ratio between the nuclear strong force and the electromagnetic force had been off by the tiniest fraction of the tiniest fraction, by even one part in 100 quadrillion, then no stars could have ever formed at all. Multiply that single parameter by all the other necessary conditions, and the odds against the universe existing are so heart-stoppingly astronomical that the notion that it all just happened defies common sense. It would be like tossing a coin and having it come up heads 10 quintillion times in a row." Before we continue, there is an in-house debate among believers regarding certain aspects of Big Bang cosmology and whether or not this model is compatible with biblical revelation, at least regarding things like the age of the universe. Our intention here is not to get into those theological arguments, but to demonstrate that even within the dominant and mainstream scientific model of the universe, the reality of fine-tuning is inescapable. Thus, when properly considered, the data leads the logical mind to an intelligent designer. The reason we're taking this route is that atheists and skeptics do not accept biblical revelation, and therefore theological arguments about things like the age of the Earth are not particularly meaningful to them. Once an atheist or skeptic comes to the realization that God exists and that the Bible is true, then it's worthwhile to engage in the in-house debates about such topics. But for now, when speaking with skeptics, it's best to start on common ground as much as we can so that we can first get them in the house. Therefore, for the purpose and intent of this teaching, we will proceed as though the mainstream scientific model of the universe is true, and the evidence of fine-tuning within the Big Bang model is overwhelming, as we'll continue to see. For instance, life existing in the universe can occur only when certain fundamental physical constants are within a very narrow range, as Dr. William Lane Craig explains. In recent decades, scientists have been stunned by the discovery that the initial conditions of the Big Bang were fine-tuned for the existence of intelligent life with a precision and delicacy that literally defy human comprehension. This fine-tuning is of two sorts. First, when the laws of nature are expressed as mathematical equations, you find appearing in them certain constants, like the gravitational constant. These constants are not determined by the laws of nature. The laws of nature are consistent with a wide range of values for these constants. Second, in addition to these constants, there are certain arbitrary quantities put in as initial conditions on which the laws of nature operate, For example, the amount of entropy, or the balance between matter and antimatter in the universe. Now, all of these constants and quantities fall into an extraordinarily narrow range of life-permitting values. Were these constants or quantities to be altered by less than a hair's breadth, the balance would be destroyed and life would not exist. In other words, if only one of the many fundamental constants of our universe is altered ever so slightly, the universe would be unfit for the development of everything from matter to stars to planets to chemistry. For example, you could imagine a universe with the exact same laws of nature but a different gravitational constant. Such a universe could not be life-permitting. If gravity attracted just a little bit more strongly, you couldn't have solar systems because everything would collapse on itself. If it didn't attract strongly enough, nothing would fall into orbits with each other. Also consider the cosmological constant. If the expansion rate of the universe had been slightly weaker, the universe literally wouldn't exist, as physicist Stephen Hawking explains. If the rate of expansion 1 second after the Big Bang had been smaller by even one part in 100,000,000,000,000, the universe would have recollapsed before it ever reached its present size. If the expansion rate of the universe had been ever so slightly greater than it was, the universe would have thinned out so rapidly that no galaxies, stars, or planets could have formed. When you consider all the finely tuned constants that form the structure of our universe, the odds of them all happening by random chance is unbelievable. To put it simply, the chance of life existing is less than zero. And yet, here we are. All of the parameters necessary for life to exist have been met. It's really quite miraculous if you think about it. Life exists against unfathomable odds. The single yellow ping pong ball was selected out of the billions and billions of white ones. So now the only question that remains is this: was the game rigged? That is to say, is our universe so precisely fine-tuned because it was designed that way? In order to answer that question in the affirmative, the other options must be eliminated. The only two alternatives to intelligent design are physical necessity and chance. Physical necessity asserts that the universe simply must be life-permitting. However, that would entail that a life-prohibiting universe is physically impossible. But there is simply no reason to believe that a life-prohibiting universe is impossible. In fact, according to the numbers, a life-prohibiting universe is far more likely than a life-permitting universe like ours. Dr. Craig writes, "The constants are not determined by the laws of nature, so why couldn't they be different? Moreover, the arbitrary quantities are just boundary conditions on which the laws of nature operate. Nothing seems to make them necessary. So the opponent of design is taking a radical line that requires some proof, but there is none." Therefore, since there is no evidence that a life-permitting universe is physically necessary, that option can be reasonably discarded. The other alternative is chance. Maybe we just got extremely lucky, and all of the constants and quantities of our universe just accidentally fell into this incredibly narrow range in order to support life. But again, the odds against this possibility are so great that it becomes unreasonable. It would be like the same person winning the lottery 10 billion times consecutively after buying only one ticket for each game. If that happened, everyone would immediately conclude that someone had rigged the game in the person's favor. When it comes to our universe, that's the exact conclusion that many scientists are coming to. Astrophysicist and cosmologist Fred Hoyle writes, "A common sense interpretation of the facts suggests that a super intellect has monkeyed with physics as well as with chemistry and biology, and that there are no blind forces worth speaking about in nature. The numbers one calculates from the facts seem to me so overwhelming as to put this conclusion almost beyond question. Physicist Paul Davies writes, "There is for me powerful evidence that there is something going on behind it all. It seems as though somebody has fine-tuned nature's numbers to make the universe. The impression of design is overwhelming." Indeed, since the fine-tuning of our universe is unlikely due to chance, the option that it was designed is the most plausible option, and therefore should be preferred. But this design, of course, entails a designer. Some have attempted to rescue the chance option by going beyond empirical science and positing something called the multiverse hypothesis. According to this hypothesis, there is actually an infinite number of universes that have emerged by chance alone. These universes have separated into their own distinct entities and have their own properties, laws, and values of the basic constants of physics. From among these infinite universes, it is argued that perhaps a few universes might emerge that could support life. The problem with this hypothesis is that there is no evidence for it. This so-called multiverse cannot be detected nor observed, and to assert an infinite number of universes to explain our universe goes against Occam's razor. That is to say, the idea of an infinite number of universes requires far more assumptions than the idea of an intelligent designer. As British philosopher Richard Swinburne states, "It is the height of irrationality to postulate an infinite number of universes never causally connected with each other merely to avoid the hypothesis of theism. Given that simplicity makes for prior probability, and a theory is simpler the fewer entities it postulates, it is far simpler to postulate one God than an infinite number of universes, each differing from each other in accord with a regular formula, uncaused by anything else." Philosopher Alvin Plantinga gives this analogy to demonstrate the logical flaws in the multiverse hypothesis. Imagine you are with members of the Mafia playing poker. One player has been dealing the cards for the past 20 hands, and for each turn he has dealt himself 4 aces. After the last turn, the mobsters turn over the table and point a gun at the dealer, accusing him of cheating. But then the dealer defends himself by saying this: "Possibly there is an infinite succession of universes, so that for any possible distribution of possible poker hands, there is a universe in which that possibility is realized. We just happen to find ourselves in one where someone like me always deals himself only aces and wild cards without ever cheating." What is more reasonable? Accept the dealer's explanation and just keep playing? Or do we realize that it's far more likely that the dealer is cheating? Everyone would immediately recognize that the game had been rigged. We would recognize that intelligence was involved in the arrangement of the cards. The aces ending up in the hand of the dealer didn't just happen by random chance. As Christian apologist Michael Jones explains, "In everyday life, when we encounter situations that seem to be rigged, we do not assume it as chance. We know intelligent design when we see it. It could be the case that it is just random chance, but we know the odds are never in that favor. So when we encounter odds like the ratio of electromagnetic force to gravity being finely tuned to 1 part in 10 to the 40th power, or the cosmological constant being finely tuned to 1 part in 10 to the 120th power, logically, we shouldn't say, well, it's possible, by accidental chance, that there is a trillion, 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 trillion universes, and we just happen to be in the one that is capable of producing life. So although the fine-tuning argument cannot prove the existence of an intelligent designer, it shows us that the existence of God is far more logical than everything just happening by random chance." So what is the best explanation for the single yellow ping pong ball being selected out of the billions and billions of white ones? The game was rigged in order that you would live. Our universe was fine-tuned for life, And the best explanation for the fine-tuning of the universe is that there is an intelligent designer of the cosmos. Romans 1:20. Ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made. We pray you've been blessed by this teaching, and remember, continue to test everything. Shalom.
It is because of you, our generous supporters, who make it possible to offer these high-quality teachings completely free of charge. If you feel led to support 119 Ministries so that we can continue this effort, please visit testeverything.net and click on the Support 119 tab. Learn how you can partner with us to take the whole Word of God to the nations.